Reading from the Brihadbhagavatamrita. Volume 1, text 35. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Chitrena Dvarakam Gatum Ujito Yara Jivana Kaku Stiti Bir Agitya Sagihe Rakshite Naya. Krishna, the life of the Yadus, tried for a long time to lead to Dwarka, but by enveloping him with plaintive prayers, she kept him in her home. Commentary. Sri Krishna had stayed with the Pandavas throughout the war between Yudhisthira and Duryodhana, but he was also Yadujivana, the life of the Yadus. So without his presence, the residents of Dwarka seemed almost dead. Krishna tried to leave Hastinapur to return to the Yadus, but Mother Chitri disputed his prayers and induced him to stay a few months longer. These prayers of Pitta are included in the first canto, chapter 8 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnanandana Silakaya Taksuram Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhisam Kapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Prasadam Sintam. Vancha Kalpa Tadu Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaye Vucha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Yadvaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrita. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Vrindavan. I'm still taking the various pilgrims around, not as much, but I'm guiding some groups of people that are here, and when I first wanted to take sannyas, and I asked His Holiness Satyut Maharaj, I said my only apprehension is that I don't travel, and I'm staying in Vrindavan. And at that time, he said a very nice thing. He said that Prabhupada said a good salesman could make as much money in one place as in traveling around. And I guess the analogy was a preacher, if he has a good place, he can do just as well as if traveling around. so many people coming. Just all afternoon, I was just meeting with various people, devotees, non-devotees. Finish it up tomorrow with the Govardhan Prakram, the last group of pilgrims. And people are quite very close to me from Israel and some from Moscow. And then tomorrow I'll go back to Govardhan for 4 or 5 days and sit and hear Satchinandan and Boyajan Prabhu speak. I'm looking forward to it especially because they're both finished 5 or 6 weeks. And to Boyajan, it's quite unusual to do this because he's always so busy. Chopping meditation retreat, so I really expect a lot of deep realizations to come. And I'll try to take good notes and I'll try to share them with you next Sunday. Of course, Wednesday I should be there also. We're in the section of Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Anugata, you advance by Katha, going on the path of following. It's very important in spiritual life. We have to follow. Not blindly, but with faith and thoughtfulness. And a good devotee is one who seeks the path followed by the predecessor. Charis, and we're following the very potent and wonderful path of Sri Narada Muni, a path which is seeking high-class sadhu sangha, not only high-class, but the topmost sadhu sangha. And that's our path. Our path is to get a good association. That's how bhakti is transferred. Bhakti is transferred from the heart of the devotee. Because the Supreme Lord instills within his devotee the Kripa Shakti. And out of devotion, the devotee has compassion for others and bestows his mercy on the devotees. This is how causeless devotional service manifests. It's causeless, so it has to come by mercy. That mercy is in the hearts of the devotees. So, Brihat Bhagavatamrita, which describes the hearts of the devotees, is such an important text to inspire us and attract us to the highest sense of devotion. And in the journey, Narada has been pointed to the Pandavas and he begins to glorify them. Of course, he feels that it's impudent to try to glorify because the glories of the devotee, the depth of their love, is unfathomable. But even though there's that reluctance not to do justice, the devotion and attachment is so profound that it cannot be checked. And devotion is manifest in glorification. So a devotee cannot help but talk about Krishna, just like an envious person cannot help but gossip and talk bad about others. So this is the main symptom of an advanced Vaishnava, that they're always hearing and chanting about Krishna, and especially about those who love Krishna, the devotees. So the section we're going to cover today, and hopefully relish together, will be Narada Muni's appreciation of the depth of love and character of the Pandavas, whose love for Krishna was so forceful and pure and intimate that Krishna reciprocated fully with them by focusing on their desire. When you love someone, you think of their desire before your own. This is one I mentioned many times. This is essential for our non-bhajan, that we think of others before ourselves. We have to move in that direction. So, the love of the Pandavas is so forceful that Krishna loves them. And love means that you're always thinking of how to please someone. And pleasing someone means to fulfill their desires. So you're always thinking of that person's desires. What do they want? The gopis are also called kinkari. What you want, I will give. So, Krishna is so much focused on the desires of the Pandavas that he will do anything for them and take any position in their service, even a subordinate one. Simple three-word sentence by Prabhupada says it all. Krishna is responsive. That's the key to devotional service. The key to devotional service is Krishna is responsive. He reciprocates loving relationships. Tesham satatiyatanam vajatam priti purvakam vidami buddhin yogam tam eviram ne. Wait a second. Tesham satatiyatanam vajatam priti purvakam for one who worships me with faith and devotion, I give them the knowledge by which they can come back to them. I give them that knowledge with faith. I give them the knowledge and they have faith in that knowledge. You cannot move in any direction without trust in the sublimity of the destination of that direction. So he gives one that faith and that knowledge, the understanding. Today, reading CC with the devotees just about an hour ago or 2 hours ago, and it's a description of Madhavendra Puri and his pure devotional service. How historically he finds this so-called deity, and Krishna appears in a dream to him. Krishna appears to him personally to offer him milk. And he discovers this deity and then establishes the deity in an anakut ceremony, a mountain of food. And it's a very, very elaborate ceremony because there's devotion. When there's devotion, there is a desire to please, which manifests in objects of pleasure for whom you are devoted to. So when there's a lot of devotion, there's always a big festival. And then when he finishes, it's an elaborate, a very elaborate food, bathing. Then the next day, spontaneously, the residents of Vrindavan hold it again. And then comes a famous verse that there is no better place to execute devotional service than the land of Vrindavan. Because in Vrindavan, the devotees naturally love Krishna. And Krishna naturally loves the devotees. So there's this reciprocation according to the force of love. Yeyatam mam papadyante tamsadaiva pachamyam. As one surrenders to Krishna, Krishna reciprocates perfectly. So, we're reading about the Pandavas. And how much they attracted Krishna by the force of their love. And Krishna reciprocated with their desires. And now, Narada, in that ecstasy of glorifying Krishna spontaneously, he begins to glorify the Pandavas, and that's the section we're in. And we will hear these glorifications and open the conduit of mercy, the channel of mercy, by the humble chanting of their glorification and listening to their glorification. We open up a certain channel where mercy flows from these personalities. Puts one in the proper consciousness for spiritual life. Naturally, the first one that Narada Muni glorifies is Kunti. Because Akura was sent to Hastinapur with a single message from Krishna, a single statement. And just hearing that one simple, single statement, she became moved in prema bhakti. Krishna sent a statement out of affection to console her. That was very, very sweet with affection. And then you're in trouble. It's almost worth the trouble if someone whom you love very, very much responds with affection. Therefore, sometimes the devotees even pray for trouble in that way, at this level, just to invoke Krishna's love. But as soon as she heard it, she plunged into the current of prema. So it's very nice. I've been discussing this extensively in my class. I could also share with you, because this story of Gokul and Madhavendra Puri begins in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's On Pilgrimage. And he's visiting the various holy places in South India. And he gets to one famous place, Rumina, where there's the deity of Shri Chora Gopinath. And that deity is famous for stealing sweet rice from his devotee, Madhavendra Puri. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to stay there and relish the prasadam. So he stays overnight. And he's very, very excited. There's two ways in which one could perform or execute any devotional activity. You can do it to purify yourself, to attain love of Godhead, or you can do it as a action that's a manifestation of love of Godhead. One, love of Godhead is the goal of taking Krishna. Prasad is the means to get love of Godhead. And in a more advanced stage, any devotional activity is a result of love of Godhead. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is approaching Mahaprasadam with such reverence, it's a transformation of Krishna. Mahaprasadam is Krishna. It's Krishna appearing in food. You have faith in that? It's special. Very special. But he wants to take that Mahaprasadam to experience how much Krishna enjoyed by taking it. This is the wonder of devotional service. When the path of Jnana, which is the path of renunciation, you basically shun sensual experience. The path of Bhakti, you maintain sensual experience, but in the consciousness of love, rather than the consciousness of indulgence. For example, in the Madhavendra Puri story, then they explain that when the deity is established, the capitalist of Mathura, the wealthy businessman, they bring all this gold, etc. So when you have a deity, you can still satisfy your desire for purchasing beautiful things, but for Krishna, but it's the same sensual experience. It's the same stimulation of different fabric and different colors and different jewelry and wealth, etc. So you get the stimulation, but the consciousness is love. Same thing with the prasadam, you get the stimulation. But someone who really has bhakti tastes it, not for his own indulgence, but to just experience the happiness of Krishna. Just like if a mother really, really loves the child and cooks the child's favorite food, she will not have a desire to eat much, but she'll want to taste how nicely her child enjoyed by taking the remnants. So that's there. There's such potency. Here with Kunti, she immediately gets plunged. And it's a very, very important point. that our ability to experience spiritual phenomena is not just based on the object that we're experiencing, but based on our receptivity to that object due to our faith. You can take Mahaprasadam, certainly there'll be benefit, but will all your sins be destroyed like Narada Muni? Why? Because he was so humble that he was able to develop such faith and therefore with such respect. Such respect and regard, the channels of the heart would open up and the experience would be full and the body becomes purified. Just like it says, you can bathe in Radha Kund once and awaken, your love for Krishna in the wake of the damsels of Braja. If you have faith, full faith, the effect is immediate. The same thing with anything, spiritual phenomena. That's why chanting Hare Krishna, even for a neophyte, is no offense, there's some receptivity, the effect will be there. Same thing with the Bhagavatam. The second verse of the Bhagavatam says, just by hearing it once, Krishna is arrested in the heart. It's once. And immediately it says, at once, immediately. And this is a fact. The one who has full faith. Faith in what? Faith in the message of the Bhagavatam, which is you should surrender to Guru and Krishna. But if you don't have that faith, of shelter, that Krishna is our shelter, that if I have Krishna and I have his holy name, there are no problems because I have complete shelter. And ultimately, what is it that we need? We need a heart filled with love. If we don't have a heart filled with love, and nothing we have will satisfy us. The devotee has full faith. And he takes shelter with Krishna, his heart becomes filled with love. I just have to summon... 1 second. Hare Krishna, Keshavarti Maharaj. I'm giving my class now. I'll call you in about... a half hour. So nice to get a... okay. And there's that famous story of that Calcutta businessman who did have that level of faith. He was so pious and humble that when a sweeper lady, when she was sleeping in the morning, just said to him, time is moving, the time is passing, move on. He heard that as the Bhagavatam. He heard that as the message of the Bhagavatam, that temporary world is full of suffering. Let's move on with our spiritual life. Take shelter of the holy name of Krishna as your only business. We heard that. But those that don't have that faith, Krishna won't appear. He's there, but he won't sink in. But how to come to that point is to engage in these spiritual processes with whatever faith we have, and they will purify us and bring us to that point. Just like if there's a rag that's full of water, a fire will not have effect to alight the rag, but it will have the effect to dry the rag, which is proceeding towards that goal. So similarly, spiritual life, Krishna may not appear immediately in the heart, but by engaging in the spiritual practices and processes, it will culture the heart and bring one to that point. So this trust or this faith, and it'll come from hearing, because Prabhupada said, a beautiful purport in reading, and I think it was the CC, that your faith is based on experience. Pratyaksha Bhagavan Dharma, one of the factors of devotional service, is you get experience. If you practice the devotional, if you engage in the devotional practices properly, you have the appropriate experience. Not perhaps the full experience, but you won't experience the fire, but you experience the cloth getting dry. That's why it's so important to take retreats and concentrate on devotional activity for periods of time, because that will give you some experience of the spiritual phenomena, which will give you faith to proceed. It's just so nice with Queen Kunti. And as he continues to glorify, he remembers Krishna trying to leave Hastinapur for Dwarka because he's Yadujivana, the residents of Dwarka love him, but he couldn't leave because of the love of Kunti and her prayers. Couldn't leave. She prayed and offered her love, and Krishna was drawn to fulfill her desire. And what was her desire? That Krishna should never leave. Her bhakti captured Krishna. When you're captured, you can't move. So what arrests one in love? The desires of your beloved. You can't move against them. So, any questions so far?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Nandadula, Hare Bhav.
Maharaj, what was the message that Krishna sent to Kunti that she became ecstatic in love of Godhead?
I can give you the reference. Bhagavatam, well, Bhagavatam 10:48:32 says, Krishna told Akura, Sibhavam Siriyadam Vaina Shreyan Shreyas Chakir Shaya Jigasatam Pandavanam Gachasva Gajasavayam. You are indeed the best of our friends, so please go to Hastinapur, and as the well-wisher of the Pandavas, find out how they are doing. So maybe, I don't know if there's anything more, but you can check in that section of the Bhagavatam, but
okay.
Maybe it's just as simple as, how are you? Right? Just imagine if you had a little something wrong, or your health, or whatever you're at, and, you know, a message came from Bhakti Trumaj or Guru Maharaj, you know, how are you doing? How's your family? And it's moving. Mark Krishnamaraj once told me that he had a hernia operation. The Prabhupada was in his morning walk, and he diverted the morning walk and went to the room where he was staying. How are you? How are you feeling? It's all rasa.
Okay.
It's rasa. It's love. It's exchange. And this is really, it's a very beautiful philosophy, because our understanding is this is the essence of reality. But the essence of reality is that there's an exchange of love. And it's perfect love. So it's perfect love. So it's such a sweet thing. And any exchange in perfect love, you love someone, and they reciprocate in any way, it's overwhelming. And we want that in perfection. That's what we're looking for in life. But ultimately, we'll find it in God.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Is that it? Okay. Anybody else have a question? Anybody else have a question? Okay, I can read a few more verses.
Maharaj?
Yeah, Muni?
Please accept my humble obeisances. You mentioned earlier in the class a few times that... I have to go upstairs real quick. You had mentioned that fundamentally Krishna reciprocates with his devotees. I think you quoted some nice statement from Srila Prabhupada about that, but I forget the exact statement now. But right. And so, you know, recently I heard a talk by someone who, although he wanted to defend theism, you know, in the modern world, he claimed that the idea of a God who's like who carries out your petitions, He claimed it was in some way non-scientific or something, and he didn't think that that was defensible. What would you say to such a person?
I would say, why? I made a claim. I'd like to hear his reason.
Right, yeah. Well, I think his claim would be something like this, that... it's funny. Anyway, it seems to me that their position begs the question, but he says that something like, well, you know, our modern view of science is that there's causal laws that are invariable. They don't change. And so the idea of a God who tinkers with the world in some way is a kind of old-fashioned idea, but it's not supported by, whatever, modern observation or something like that.
Well, I first would question the depth of modern observation. You know, I mean, my experience is so much different. you know, the reciprocation of God is so profound. How do they miss it? And, you know, how do they analyze that, you know? But Yeah, it's petitioning the Lord. The only thing is it's not like Prabhupada is an order supplier. You know, the reciprocation in our level is to give us what we need. And as the world is already set up that way in terms of its laws of karma, I guess he can change it if he wants, but it's his law and it has a purpose. Yeah, I mean, it's a personal God. There's reciprocation. Not only, and I don't understand the logic, because God means that he's all powerful. I really didn't understand the person's logic.
Yeah, you know, the more I think about it, I think that they just have an assumption, and the assumption is that causal laws are fixed, but I don't know why, like, you're not going to, that observation is not supported by, it's a presumption. It's not itself something which has been tested. It's a kind of presupposition they have. And why couldn't God adjust things occasionally? Yeah, anyway. Sorry, it's just in my mind, and I just thought I'd throw it out there. Maybe,
I kind of appreciate it. I understand causal laws,
I do think that you just made a distinction, though. Like, sometimes people want to say that the idea of God who fulfills people's prayers is really primitive. It's like people. It's like magic. But I think that in our view, we are a bit sophisticated in that we don't see God as someone who's there just to fulfill every whim we have. It's a very kind of restricted and special way that when you have bhakti, God does kind of change the world. It's not just like, like tribal magic or something. Anyway, I'm just... Sorry.
How much does he want to change the world? If he created it, and it's moving for a purpose, you know, rather mm-hmm. he may want to change our consciousness. Mm-hmm. That's it. And that changes mm-hmm. our experience. I think a lot of transcendence of karma, you know, because karma is the body. In the Yoga Sutras, it says, the intelligent person wants to avoid future suffering. You can't do anything about what's here. And the future suffering is caused by, the kleshas, our particular attitude. So, I kind of forgot my point there. I kind of got off the... Yeah, we can. The point I'm making is that, you know, the law of karma, it's God's law. And I think a lot of the transcendence of it, because corrupt karma means the body. And they say, even for a Vaishnava, even if he becomes liberated, he still has to attain praying. And therefore, he requires the body to do so, and the body is karma. Without karma, there's no body. That's how the material thing moves. So, I think the point is that a lot of ways in which transcendence happens is the heart changes. Hmm. And when the heart changes, your whole experience of the world changes.
Hmm.
So different approaching the world, the same experience approached with knowledge is a whole different experience. Okay, something like that.
Okay, thanks, Marsh.
All right, anybody else? What I'll do is I'll read one or two more verses and then say hello to people. So let's relish together, please, okay? Let's relish. Sometimes I just read, Krishna bestowed upon Yudhisthira the highest prestige, greater than that of anyone else in the upper and lower worlds. And by favors like allowing Bhima to kill Jarathon, Krishna granted Bhima unequaled fame. To enhance the reputation of King Yudhisthira, Krishna encouraged him to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. Krishna helped the Pandavas dispose of Jarasandha, who was the major obstacle to this sacrifice, by giving Bhima the honor of defeating Jarasandha in one-to-one combat. During Jarasandha's repeated attacks on Mathura, Krishna himself had gotten many opportunities to kill him, but Krishna patiently waited for the suitable opportunity so the credit would go to Bhima. So here's the heart of God. The heart of God is he wants to glorify his devotee. So how great are the Pandavas are, if Krishna is thinking of them and wanting them to be respected and glorified. There's a verse by, I think it's Bhagavatam or something, I forgot that. That Govinda is in the heart of the devotees, and the devotees in the heart of Govinda. It's reciprocation. In Prabhupada's last days, I was here in Vrindavan. Oh, Vrindavan, wonderful Vrindavan, sweet Vrindavan. It's just an amazing place. And I was here, and I was woken up one morning to say that Prabhupada is coming back to Rishikesh to leave the world here. We went into Prabhupada's room to greet him, and I was just witnessing Jayananda had just left the world, and Prabhupada got word of it, and Prabhupada was just saying, he helped me so much, and I was impressed. Because, you know, the regard for Prabhupada, his stature and position, I saw how a disciple made his way into Prabhupada's heart by his service. And service or seva is not just an activity. It's a outward manifestation of love and surrender. And how the reciprocation is love. When you love someone, you think of them. So here again, in my future book that I'll write someday called The Mind of God, take the instances from the Shastra where you think of how Krishna is thinking. So he's thinking, let's glorify the devotees. That gives him pleasure. As we get pleasure when Krishna is glorified, Krishna gets pleasure when we're glorified. It's a wonderful relationship that is there when we make it a priority in our lives and open our hearts in prayer to Krishna. The reciprocation is there. Saint Arjuna became renowned throughout the world for his intimate friendship with Krishna. I can never sing all the glories of Arjuna, even if I recite hundreds of Puranas. So Arjuna, Pandu is so great. Why? Intimate relationship with God. How wonderful is that? Are we hankering for intimate relationships? Are our intimate relationships satisfying us fully? Are the objects of intimate relationship, is, you know, God? We may have satisfactory intimate relationships. I'm not denying them in this world, nor am I denying the need for them, especially if they're connected with God. But even on a psychological platform, the heart being peaceful in that way, if it's appropriate, can open itself to God and think of God more clearly. But he has an intimate relationship. And Narada, the commentary says, calls Arjuna Bhagavan out of a great respect. The term is usually reserved for Krishna. But the sage justified using it by citing the scriptural definition from the Vishnu Purana, quote, a person who knows about the creation and destruction of the universe, the karmics coming and goings of embodied creatures and the forces of enlightened illusion may be called Bhagavan. So Krishna agrees to serve him by driving his chariot, and a devotee sees this as just such a wonderful thing. Because the greatness of a person is more his personality than his position. And Krishna on the chariot represents the personality of God, that he's responsive to his devotees to the extent that he wants to serve the devotees regardless of what his ontological position is. So that's such a sweet concept of the Supreme. Okay, been a long day of sharing spiritual life. I spoke 2 hours to this group from Moscow, and Jagadish, who takes tours, this particular tour of his, there were people that were a little proud and very, very skeptical, so it was a hard group for him. It was, I met the group today, and somehow or other, everyone in that group had gone to my lecture in Moscow somehow. But this was a skeptical group, more or less, especially one or two people. It was very difficult for him. But it was so nice because of our teachings and understanding and training and connecting to a body of knowledge, that when I met them, I talked to them for 2 hours, and they asked questions and I answered them fully, but you could see that one or two of them, they didn't want the answer to be, because they didn't want to submit to anybody. So I said, are you satisfied? And they said, well, yeah, kind of, you know. I said, okay, what doesn't satisfy you? And they mentioned something. And, you know, by God's grace, by Prabhupada's grace, we're so well trained in the science of spirituality, which applies to all aspects of life. I just, just answer all their questions. And at the end, it was so nice. You see how people's hearts change. And it's rewarding. It's rewarding. And as I'm going to Moscow again sometime in the summer, or spring, and I'll probably meet some of these people there. Like 80% of them are just so sweet. But you see those people, they don't want answers because they don't want anybody that's in a superior position. But anyway, they appreciate it, actually. And even the lady who was the, and these were very established, you know, people. Moscow is like Manhattan. These are the more Upper East Side types, I would say. But they, you know, you can see that they appreciate it. Even the lady who was just super difficult, they spent the whole tour. You know, and I asked them to just meditate. And I always do this at the end of the tour, although this group I wasn't with. I had this other group yet. I said, just think of your favorite place. Why it was your favorite place, what you felt there that made it your favorite place, and the realization it gave that you can carry home to improve your life. So I actually heard, and that one girl said, you know, she said, yeah, by coming here or something like that, I realized that I need to become more humble and not talk so much. So I said, wow, the God is powerful. Gave you that. Okay, anybody like to say hello?
Hello. Hare Krishna. Does hello mean too late for questions?
Gail, you're coming in at the last hour, huh? For the question, go ahead.
Would you describe the difference between a person's psychological need for intimacy and a person's need for intimacy with Krishna?
Yeah, one is material and one spiritual.
Yeah, I know.
That's the difference. What I'm saying is, there are certain material desires and needs we have, right, that we need the stability for the higher endeavor of self-realization.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can't get carried away also, you know, if it's there, that despite endeavoring, you know, to satisfy a need, material or something, you know, that you think you need and you don't get it, and karmically it's not available, then we understand that the lesson that we have to learn is more important to our spiritual life than the temporary peacefulness the satisfaction of this desire will give. And you can't understand the inexplicable will of God, because we don't understand how long and how complex our interactions have been in the world since time immemorial.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't understand the progressions of realizations we require and in what order to bring us to the highest perfection. And the way karma works is we have an unlimited stock, and then at the end of our life, you know, I think, you know, or something happens that, you know, we can't all accommodate it in one lifetime, so a portion of it is given for a particular reason which we can't understand why it is now. You know, I mean, karmically one may not have that relation in one life, we may have it in the next life. But either way, whatever is given is what we need. And when one really develops a sense of the soul, which is a trust that everything is okay, and there is a supreme being, and we're part of that supreme being, and what is moving is perfect, and everything is there right now if we can just realize it. And that kind of trust, that kind of faith, is the, you know, allows us to move forward in spiritual life. So how that's built and how that's gotten, God knows. All right.
Okay. I couldn't have asked that question before because the subject didn't come up until after you asked the questions the first time.
That's fine. I appreciate it. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisances.
Okay. That's Amir?
Yes. Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. Still on my list.
Thank you for class, and I really appreciated the answer that you just gave to Gail.
Okay, thank you, Amir.
It makes perfect
and,
sense.
Yeah, and I'm also, I do still, I'm pretty busy, but I should give you a call
Yeah, if you could just give me a time span, around which time I should be arriving, and when Puri is happening, and so I can get some time.
Okay, we'll talk it out, and we'll see what's the best thing for you to do. Okay.
Great. Thank you so much.
Say hello.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Lita Madhava. Thank you for class.
Hey, Hare Krishna, Lita. I'm meeting so many incredible people from Washington somehow. I just met this amazing lady who just Hare Kirtan. She was in a yoga class and she was on a tour to India. And he said, if you like Kirtan, you should go to Vrindavan and meet Venugopal Swami.
Oh, nice.
And, just see the experience that someone could have when they come to Vrindavan in the right way.
Uh-huh.
Just, wow, it was great. Okay, Lita, Hare Krishna. Thanks for coming on. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we can end for today. Thank you all deeply for attending the class. Once you call for Kadujas Chakra.